Andre Brouwer is a Golden Globe and Emmy Award winner, best known for his roles in Homicide, Life on the Street, and the current sitcom Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He is currently starring in the Williamstown Theater Festival world premiere production of Jonathan Payne's A Human Being of a Sort. Brouwer plays a southern convict named Smokey who is guarding the zoo's most sensational exhibit, Otabenga, a Congolese pygmy man. Based on a true story, the play takes place in 1906 at the Bronx Zoological Park. As the public's fascination intensifies and protesters call for Oda's release, Smokey must grapple with the fact that his own freedom depends on another black man's captivity. It is a great pleasure to welcome Andre Brouwer to the Roundtable. What a great honor to have you here. Thank you.
Thanks very much for having me.
A delight. How did this, your participation in this particular production come about?
Well, I met Mandy Greenberg, the artistic director, back at MTC, I think in 2011, when I was doing a production of The Whipping Man with Andre Holland and Jay Wilkerson. And she gave me a call out of the blue, asking me whether I would consider this play. And so I read it, and you know, I know, trust, and respect her. And so, having read this play and feeling that it was an important story, I felt as though I wanted to be involved with it.
When you say an important story, it is amazing of what is told in the 2 hours on that stage, and a true story. Were you aware of all of the backstory prior?
None, nothing.
So what was your reaction the first time you realized that is something that happened in this country in 1906?
Well, I wasn't surprised. You know, America has a tremendous capacity for cruelty. So there's nothing surprising, but it is shocking in its way. I felt as though the themes from 1906 are still resonant today. And so I felt it was important to tell this story and in a certain way tell our present day story by going 100 years in the past to tell Otabenga's story.
And that really is your role, isn't it? Your character's role in being that bridge to what is happening today.
My character, well, you know, there's the ongoing theme of incarceration. You know, with the passing of the amendment that outlawed slavery, the only exception was for people who were quote unquote lawfully convicted. You know, slavery was still an option, and so very much like August Wilson's Joe Turner's Come and Gone, it really tells the story of a man who has been, in essence, unfairly, unjustly sentenced to hard labor for a petty theft, you know. And it's really one part of a long, continuous story about unlawful, disproportionate incarceration of black men in order to control them, their bodies, and most especially their labor.
In the process, as I mentioned, a world premiere. So in the process, what were the conversations like with the playwright in understanding the story that was being told and really your story as well as Otabenga's story?
Well, mostly Jonathan provided context for how and why he decided to emphasize certain parts about Otabenga's story. The historical details are sketchy. So at a certain point, even the Smokey character is almost entirely invention. You know, the name of Smokey's Negro zookeeper has been lost to history, but Jonathan has fleshed out and given a very powerful story to this unknown man. And most of our conversations were about context, you know, the things that allow us to better understand the time and the phenomenon of human zoos, which were common throughout the Western world.
And not to simplify it too much, but ultimately both men are looking to get out.
Yes, I mean, both men are looking for their freedom. I mean, they're enslaved in different ways, but both men are looking for their freedom. Oda Benga's is sort of like an economic enslavement, you know what I mean? We have a deal, I've paid for you, I house you, you have to perform, and Smokey's is simply imprisonment.
One of the things that I really admired and that I loved about this play is the relationship between the two of you and the conversations that the two of you have. I'm curious as to the point in an always very short period of time of production of what it was like to get that down, to understand each other in such a beautiful way.
Well, I think, just from my perspective, I mean, Smokey is clouded by illusions too, you know what I mean? Oda Benga feels alien to him also, you know, in terms of his teeth, his cultural practices, his religion. There's an aspect of sort of alienness to Oda Benga because he was raised in a different part of the world, a different culture, and his perspective on a Western culture is surprising. His logic, you know, his ability to cut to the bone, the crux of the argument. The relationship, I think, is well realized in the play, but in a 3-week rehearsal period, there isn't a lot of time for those kind of conversations in the rehearsal process. So I wish we had an additional week, I didn't have as many conversations as I would like because there's a mad scramble from the first read through to the first performance, all of which happened in the course of 3 weeks.
Does that still play itself out as you're performing it over the 2 weeks?
It does to a certain extent, but once you get in front of an audience, the ability to play is diminished simply because certain cues, certain moments have to be hit. The lighting designer has designed certain effects at certain times. So there's still room to play, but it's greatly diminished from what we could do in a rehearsal room.
Give us a sense of, for you, after doing a season of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, of then coming out and saying, okay, now is a time for me to go back on stage. Do you look at it as a release in one way or the other of saying that this is something I would like to... that I would like to do while that is done, I can go do this now?
Sort of. I mean, I take hiatus as an extended vacation. So, you know, I do what I want to do, you know. And this vacation, I wanted to come up here and do this play. I like doing different things. I mean, my whole adventure on Brooklyn Nine-Nine entirely stems from, hey, I've never done this, you know. And here we are 7 years later, you know. On Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And I looked up and I said, here's an opportunity to work with Whitney White, who's an amazing director, on a very interesting play with Jonathan Payne, who's been at it for years developing this work. And I just said to myself, well, hey, it's different. I'm going to do it, you know. And it's very novel in a certain way to be able to be lucky enough to move from story to story. And it's very satisfying.
What do you look for in that, in looking for a story of something that you want to spend time with?
I don't know. I mean, I'm fascinated with American history. I would say Black American history, African American history. There's so many untold stories. And even the first time that I met Mandy Greenfield doing The Whipping Man, it's an untold story of Black Civil War history. And so I'm just fascinated by it. I get a chance to do a tremendous amount of research and really sort of throw myself into the time period, you know. Typically, I get more time. I think this is an extended complaint about the contract, but, you know, typically we get more time. So I didn't have as much time to rehearse this, and I have so many lines that I was at the kitchen table for weeks learning these lines. So that's mainly what I've been preoccupied with.
And that's the mechanics of it, right? Of learning the lines, of understanding what you're saying, and we can talk all we want about understanding and the history of it, but at the end of the day, you have to know what to say.
Yeah, I mean, you know, usually, I mean, I learn lines really, really quickly, but Smokey, he has a million different handles. He's never allowed to be direct, you know what I mean? So there's all these qualifiers and softeners and all these different sort of things, and I'm a fairly direct person, so learning this material was extremely difficult, and it would take me, what was it, 8 pages takes 4 hours, so half an hour per page, which is like, I don't know, a quarter of my typical speed, you know? Typically I get eight pages and I just zoom through it real quick, you know? And 8 pages of this material is mind-bogglingly hard. So I spent a couple of weeks at the kitchen table, you know, and eventually you get fried, you know, and you lay your head down and, you know, weep a little bit, and then you go back at it, you know? So it took about 2 weeks and some change to learn all these lines. And I wanted to learn them all before I started rehearsal, because I also knew, back to the contract, I also knew we didn't have time to learn lines. They had to be learned before I arrived.
And then once you arrive, then it's getting down to the details, and then you get to explore a little bit.
Yes, I get to explore without being dependent upon carrying around the book. So the exploration is all about our relationships and our behavior. What are the most interesting circumstances that we can create in order to help tell this story, to energize it? So we adopt, transform, change, manipulate different specific circumstances in order to feed the interactions on stage.
When you are faced with the prospect of a new work and something that's never been done before, how much were you in mind? Do you know that you would be the guy playing Smokey?
I don't think I was. It was a consideration at all. Mm. I mean, Jonathan's been working on this for years, and of course, there's no guarantee that anyone's going to do your show. You know what I mean? So you can't really write it with a specific person in mind, you know. So I would have to say, just based upon the business of putting up a show, you write your show and then you cast out your net for the actors that most appeal to you. And so Mandy gave me a ring. I liked the material. I had a conversation with Whitney and with Jonathan. I read the material again. We did a reading maybe 2 or 3 weeks before we started rehearsal. And that's as much as we got to know each other, you know, before that time period. But I don't believe the playwright, the director, or the artistic director can depend upon any one actor's participation. It can't be designed for them.
But they like that you're a part of it, obviously.
Yeah, I think we're all happy. We're pleased with how the show has turned out. I don't read reviews, so I have no idea what, quote-unquote, people think. You know, it's a decision I made, I don't know, many years ago, but I just stopped reading reviews because I said to myself, I've had a really great time and I just don't care what people think, you know? So I have no idea. I have no idea how they felt about The Whipping Man. I have no idea how they feel about Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I just don't know how they feel about it. So,
you know, though, that people like you, right? That you have a very likable personality?
I do, but, you know, reviews are dangerous. You know, the most dangerous reviews are the favorable ones. So, you know, I avoid all that entrapment.
But even reviews aside, just that the public, you have a personality and a charm about you that people seem to like a lot.
I know myself too well, you know what I'm saying? I hear about it, you know what I mean, but I can't really take it to heart, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just that guy. I'm just me, you know, and they see something from the outside that I don't have access to. It. I'm looking from the outside, from the inside out, and vice versa. So, you know, I'm just me.
What's next for you?
Back to Brooklyn Nine-Nine at the end of July. We start filming, and that runs through Thanksgiving, 13 episodes. So I'll be coming home right before Thanksgiving, and I'll get 4 weeks with my family, and then I'm sure right after the new year something else will happen, and I'll be involved with that.
And Brooklyn Nine-Nine, too, the fact of having the second wife, I would assume, is fun for everybody.
It is. I mean, NBC, I think, is a really wonderful home. I think it's superior to the network that where we were hosted before. NBC has a lot of history with comedy. You know, it's comedy seems to be in their DNA, so developing it and nurturing it is second nature to them, and it's a really good place to land, NBC.
Andre Brower is starring in the Williamstown Theater Festival's world premiere production of Jonathan Payne's A Human Being of a Sort. It is now in the Nico Stage through July 7th. Andre Brower, what a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
A great delight. Again, you can find out more by going to wtfestival.org, A Human Being of a Sort, on the Nico Stage through July 7th. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.